Good morning and welcome to worship at Little Sitara Church of the Brethren. It's great to see so many faces, to see some faces who have missed a few Sundays due to health reasons. It's great to have you back. It's a joy to be here and worshiping on a beautiful Sunday morning. In the way of announcements this morning, does anyone want to make an announcement about the youth soup and sandwich? Was anyone prepared? Seeing no one jump up, there is a soup and sandwich luncheon after worship today. All are welcome to join.
I'll jump up, Johnny. See how I'm jumping.
Oh, there you are.
Soup and sandwich after the luncheon today. The sandwich is pulled pork. Alexis, what are the soups? There you go. And the money will go to benefit the youth's planned mission trip to Brooklyn in June. So that's what's going on this afternoon. So come on down and have some good food and fellowship.
In the way of other announcements, does anyone have any announcements they want to bring? I noticed in the bulletin that Verna Fari's birthday is April 21st, and we have a week left to get birthday cards in for her in the box in the narthex. And right below that is George Bayshore's birthday is April 30th. So it'd be great to remember them if you can. I think that is it for our time of announcements. That's not it for our time of announcements.
This is gonna be a little bit long, Paul.
As far as Curtis's mail, please, for now, just put an unaddressed card in my mailbox. Just put your return address on it. Those of you who might have sent cards this week, if you get them back, put them in my mailbox. Sorry. Curtis got moved to work release on Friday. We got an SOS call. We had to make a food and clothing run up to the work release program. Thankfully, he called while I was sitting there watching the Eagles, the Eagles sitting on their nest, so I could quick look it up in the computer. Basically, he went from 22 hours a day in a jail cell to, no, you're on your own. It's still a locked facility, but he's got to figure everything out, got to get his prescription, got to get his medicine. He can have a pillow. He can have hugs from his mother. To me, that was probably about the greatest thing. They don't have visitation, but when they have drop-off, you have a brief period of interaction, and I took full advantage of that. So just ignore this address for now. Just put any cards in our mailbox anytime. I'll keep checking. And got to tell a little tale on us. We worked so hard to get his 5 sets of clothing together and shoes and other stuff. Put them in a basket. I told Ralph, cover the basket with plastic because it was raining. We took the wrong basket. So he can't go out. I don't know what clothing he has, what we took up. So we will be going up again today to take the correct clothing and exchange it, his checkbook and a few other things. And please, please pray for him. This is a big transition. He was a little anxious on Friday because just boom, they said, you're going to work release, get in the van, and over he went. And he has to provide for himself. Thankfully, we had $30 worth of change and enough money to equal $50 for him. Me just calling them and trying to make arrangements, I was confused, so I can imagine it's very overwhelming for him right now. So main thing is just ignore this address for now until he's fully settled in there. I know what the address is, but I'm not sure what's gonna happen here. So I really thank you for all your prayers. That's what's keeping us going. Pray for Ralph and I as we make our mistakes along the way and as we figure this all out, and really pray for Curtis. This is a really big transition for him. I thank you all.
Thanks for sharing, Burl. I'm sure a number of us have been talking to Burl individually, and it's neat to see the example that Burl and Ralph are making in their open and honest sharing of this experience, this hard experience that they're walking through as a family, and giving us an opportunity to be a part of that. Thank you for your open and honest sharing. Any other announcements? We'll go to our time of hymn singing. Open your hymnals to number 41. I'm sorry, 37, 41 minus four.
Thank you.
It's time for the sharing of joys and concerns. We have someone coming with a microphone. I've already listed Curtis in changing to the work release, and Ralph and Burl, and just all the changes that are going on. Other joys and concerns to share.
I would like prayer for John's uncle Jim. He's been sick this week, and he's been pretty sick, so I'm hoping and praying that he will get better.
I would like prayers for my sister Elaine. She's going through a divorce, and it's not very easy, and she just has a lot on her mind and on her plate. So I just like prayers for her to help her through it. Thank you.
I have two prayer concerns. One is listed in the bulletin, and the family of Louis Barrero. He's a companion to one of my good friends, passed away unexpectedly this week.
Aww.
And 44 of my people at work got their notice, so just pray for them as they decide what they're doing in the future, and for those of us who are still kind of in limbo and we're not sure what's happening.
Thank you for sharing your joys and concerns. My joy is to see particularly Hershey and Anna Mary back here in worship. They've had a hard time of challenges this past couple of weeks, and it's just a joy to see you here again. Alrighty, let's bring our hearts and minds before God as we pray. Dear Lord, our provider and Savior, thank you for the wonderful blessings you are giving us today, for the bright sunshine and the blue sky, for the green grass and the variety of bright colors and flowers, the spring birds that are in our yards again. We look forward to the buds on the trees as we remember that you bring all things in their season. Thank you for your wonderful creation and for creating us with that same great care so that we can experience the wonders that you've created and to glorify you. Thank you for hands to serve and for hearts to love and for lips to praise. And Lord, we pray that our worship of you this morning would be pleasing to you. We praise you for the joys of having people back together again after separation due to sickness. It's just a joy to see faces again. And Lord, as we lift up our concerns, we hear the coughs that people are experiencing right now today, and the cough that many of us have experienced in the past weeks and months. We pray for those who are suffering now, and that you would touch them and comfort them and give them strength as they fight as the sickness in their body. And Lord, we bring the concerns of the joy, I guess, of Curtis moving to a work release. And we pray that you would be with him through the many challenges and changes that he's going to be going through in the coming days and weeks, and that you would be with him and strengthen him and give him your peace and give him confidence in you, and that you will be with him through all that he needs to face. And pray also for Ralph and Burl as they deal with the changes and the emotional challenges that come. And Lord, we lift up Jim Mills in his sickness that he's fighting right now, and pray that you would touch him and bring him healing as well. And Elaine, who is going through a divorce, we lift her up to you with the many challenges that she'll be going through, and her family as well. And we think of Lewis and his family as in the loss of Lewis. We pray that you will be with his family and comfort them, and the friends, the people that knew him well. And also thinking of Karen's coworkers who have received notice of termination of their employment. We pray that you would be with them and guide them. We know that many times the things that we see as an end are simply an opportunity to move on to something that you have in mind for us that is oftentimes better. And we just pray that you would guide the people as they begin their search for that next thing that you would have them go on to. Dear Lord, we know that you are a loving God who cares for our every need, and we place our needs before you, and we wait for your response. We know that you who created us will sustain us, and we rest in that knowledge of your sustaining care. We pray these things in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. I think I have the hymn number right, number 499. The offertory thought I chose for this morning comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 8. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And I forgot verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. And then as my prayer, I'm going to use verse 10. Let's bow our heads. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Amen.
Do we have any kids today for the children's moment? I'll take big or little. Graham's here. Good. Okay. Nathan's here. Oh, good. We got some older kids too. Look at them all coming. Good job. Hey, everybody. Hi. Good morning. Good morning, Julianne. How are you? Good morning, have a seat. Hey girls, yes. Oh, well, it's maybe for later. It's a secret. Okay, well, good morning. Hey Anthony, come on over. I think you're gonna know some of this. Today we're gonna talk about a big word. The big word is symbolism. Do you know what that means?
No.
Do you know what a symbol is?
Yes.
What? No, that's a siren. No, that's wrong. What?
A symbol is something like courage.
Well, it's a picture. You're right. It's a picture of something that translates to something else in our mind. When we see that symbol, we think of something else. I have some for you to look at today. I want to see how smart you are. First one.
McDonald's.
Yes.
Yeah.
And how do you think it's McDonald's? It's just the golden arches. I know. But still, what is McDonald's famous for? French fries!
And chicken nuggets.
They make the best French fries ever. Well, yeah, but French fries. Okay, next one.
The man!
Yeah! And is he good or is he a villain?
Right,
so every time you see this, you know something good's gonna happen, because Batman's there. Okay, next one. Right, another something good. We take something that's trash and we make it into something good. Oh, right, you guys are whizzes. It's getting a little harder. One of our state's biggest colleges. Not my favorite, but a lot of people love Penn State. Yes. The Nittany Lion, that's their symbol. So every time you see the Nittany Lion, you think Penn State. Okay, last one, or next to last one is?
Eagles.
Eagles, it's the Philadelphia's football team.
What? They capture things that are flying in the air.
They do, but not this one. This one is the football team. You just don't have a family that watches football.
I have one in my classroom.
Oh, great. So you see, advertisers are really scoring high with you guys. Now, here's one.
Valentine's Day.
Well, Valentine's Day, but it's a?
Heart.
And what does a heart symbolize? And who teaches us love?
God
and Jesus.
And what are we supposed to do with our love?
Love them.
Share it. And do you know what? Do you know how we know these golden arches? We know McDonald's. Mm-hmm. When we see a heart, we should think Christians, people who follow Christ and show love. There's even a song. Hold on. See if you know this song. And my voice isn't good today, so help me out, people. And they'll know we are Christians by our love, yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. So when I see, when Juliana's on the playground and there's somebody picking on somebody and you go over and say, please stop that, come play with me, somebody will say, oh, I know Juliana, she's a Christian. That's what we want people to say about us when we show love, okay? Now, because you're so smart, I have some Smarties for you. Okay, you get that? All right, remember always to show God's love, okay? Okay, have a good week, everybody. Here's one for you. Just take one. Attaboy. There you want. Make sure your mom and dad says you can have it, okay? The little people. Okay. Did he get one? That little boy get one? Yes, he did. Did the little boy in the blue shirt get one? I don't think that little boy in the blue shirt got one.
Let's see. Perfect. How am I supposed to be perfect? Oh, didn't realize you were here. Well, you see, I just got back from this Bible study. Really tough topic. It's aiming to be Christ-like. Of course, as a Christian, I want to be more like Jesus, but as a human, I just don't see how that's possible. You see, the pastor read a verse that really stuck with me. It's, let me read it to you. Matthew 5:48. But you are to be perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. 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 That means totally without mistake. How can I do that living in a secular world? I'm the only Christian at work. That's really tough. On the radio and TV, they have this garbage on constantly. How am I supposed to be perfect? I get this vision of being a perfect person. Seems to me that's a tough vision to follow through with. The pastor talked about being a Great Commission Christian. He gave out a list of things that make us a Great Commission Christian. You know what? I think I left it in the car. Well, maybe I can remember a few. Let's see. Simple living. Well, just look around this place. This is pretty simple. What else? Make prayer first your first work. Make prayer your first work. Fellowship with those who share your faith, regardless of color or culture. Oh, there were so many more, I just can't remember them. I mean, how am I supposed to live up to this standard? I mean, I can try. I want to try, but I just don't think that me alone in this secular world can do it. Well, let's see. No, that's tough. But when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, you will receive power to testify about me with great effect to the ends of the earth. I guess that's it. God knows I can't do it on my own, but with his power, I can. Guess it doesn't mean I'll never make a mistake, but those will probably be the times I try to do it on my own. But you know, with the power of the Creator on my side, how can I not succeed? You know, I believe I can be a Great Commission Christian. With God's hand in my life, the vision of his perfection shines through, and I can run with that.
We are one in the Spirit, we are one in the Lord. We are one in the Spirit, we are one in the Lord. And we pray that our unity may one day be restored. And they'll know we are Christians by our love, by our love. Yeah, they'll know we are Christians by our love. We will work with each other, we will work side by side, we will work with each other. We will work side by side, and we'll guard each man's dignity and save each man's pride. And they'll know we are Christians by our love, by our love. Yeah, they'll know we are Christians by our love. Our love. By
I want to thank John for leading worship and Elaine for leading worship in the first service. I want to thank the praise team. I agree with Judy. That was just fantastic. It's good to see a praise team back in Little Swatara, and I look forward to hearing a lot more from them. I want to thank all those in the congregation who have supported me, not only these last couple weeks, they knew I was going to be up here this morning, but just through growing up in this congregation. And if my grandmother was here, she'd probably be a proud grandmother this morning. She was always after me to be up here doing this. So the video that was shown, I really picked that because of the song. I'm hoping that video was, I believe, created around 2005-2006 timeframe, and I hope some of those statistics have gotten a lot better than they were in the video. But I'd just like to share this morning, and we're going to be looking at the song, They'll Know We Are Christians. So how will they know? How will they know this man who gave so much, who gave his very life, this man named Jesus? How will they know him? How will they know what is available to them through his saving grace? How will they know of his everlasting love, a love that is available to everyone just by asking? How will they know of his everlasting life available through Jesus? How will they know? A few weeks ago after choir, Pam and Richard asked if I would share the message Sunday morning, as Pastor Matt is he's away at a conference this weekend. And I don't know if it was a moment of weakness or my inability to say no, just ask my wife Mary, that I agreed to stand before you this morning. I didn't say yes right away that evening, but as I drove home from choir rehearsal that night, I believe God called me to say yes. Almost immediately as I left the church that night, this song, They'll Know We Are Christians, came into my head, and it just wouldn't go away. You know how sometimes a song or an advertising jingle comes to your mind and you just can't seem to get it out of your mind? Well, that's how this song, They'll Know We Are Christians, was on my mind these next few days after that evening. And I believe God was truly calling me to use this song to bring a message to you this morning. I've always been curious about how the Church of the Brethren evangelizes to individuals. As a boy and a young teenager here in the church, I always viewed the spiritual renewal services as the church's way of evangelizing to others and having others become members of the church. I never really thought about evangelism as something we do on a daily basis. The Brethren have said that the way we live our lives daily is how we evangelize to others. And that brings me back to the question, how will they know? And also back to this song, They'll Know We Are Christians. So let's take a look at this song, one verse at a time. The first verse states that we are one in spirit, we are one in the Lord. And if you want to turn in your Bibles to the second chapter of Acts, I'd like to share verses 1 through 4 with you. That's Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. So we read about this Holy Spirit coming at Pentecost. If you can picture the disciples gathered together and hear this wind from heaven, and they saw what seemed like tongues of fire. Sounds a little scary. But they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And then later, Peter addresses the crowd that gathers, and he leads what I believe to be the first spiritual renewal service. He tells about Jesus' life, his death, and his resurrection. So let's move over to verses 36 through 41, still in Acts chapter 2. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this: God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" And Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." With many other words, he warned them, and he pleaded with them, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. So here you have the people asking, "What shall we do?" And Peter says, of course, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of this Holy Spirit. And this promise is for everyone, men, women, children, and those yet to even come, for all whom the Lord our God will call." And those who accepted the message were baptized. And then we read in verses 42 through 47, "They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. And everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved." The unity, this being of one in Christ, is something that the church strives for even today. We worship together, we meet together, we take offerings together, we believe together, we live in common with one another, we even live in the same communities together, and we share our lives with one another. We praise God together, all for one purpose, so that others will know what we believe and in whom we believe, so that others will be saved and come to know Christ Jesus as their personal Savior. Now let's look at the second verse. Verse 2 says, "We will walk with each other, we will walk hand in hand, and together we'll spread the news that God is in our land." Another song that's popular in the Brethren realm comes to my mind, "When We Walk with the Lord." And many of you know that song, and the first verse states, "When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey." Now, these two songs talk about God's goodwill and spreading the news that God is in our land, not just by ourselves, but by walking hand in hand with one another, walking in a way that God is with us, abiding with us. The verses here are plural. They're not singular. They're not one. They're not meant to be singular. So in the book of Isaiah chapter 2, verses 3 through 5, Isaiah talks about the future concerning Judah and Jerusalem. Verse 3 states, "Many peoples will come and say, 'Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, so that we may walk in his paths.' The law will go out from Zion, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He will judge between the nations and will settle disputes for many people. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore. Come, O house of Jacob, let us walk in the light of the Lord." So in the early 80s, I got into a discussion with a coworker named John. Now, John had attended some church when he was a child, but I don't know that he was attending church as a young man. Well, John was the type of person who liked to ask questions to try to get you to argue with him, or just to ask you questions to get on a topic, you know, to get under your skin, something that you might be passionate about. Well, one day John wanted to know why people, including myself, went to church. He said that, hey, I can read my Bible in my room. I don't need to attend church. So I responded to John by stating that, yeah, you certainly can read your Bible on your own in your room. But where two or more are gathered, there the Lord will be also. And I said, being a Christian is more than just reading your Bible in your room. It's about asking the Lord into your heart and forgiving your sins. And then it's about telling the good news to others. And you certainly can't do that sitting in your bedroom. It takes help from others who believe the same. So I'm not sure how that discussion affected John that day, but I think he realized that I wasn't about to waver from what I believed in, and an argument wasn't gonna happen. And another example, when Mary and I were youth advisors and we had some help from Brenda and Joe, we took a group of youth to National Youth Conference in 2006. We stressed at that time that we didn't want any of the youth to be alone by themselves. Now, this wasn't only for safety reasons, but we also wanted to have them provide companionship and support to one another so that they were together in any circumstance. Now, at NYC, it was reported that there was a young worker at the university that inquired as to, who are all these young people? They had noticed that something was different about how these teenagers acted and talked and responded to adults as well as to one another. Now, some youth attending NYC that week talked to this person, and they told this worker at the university that, hey, we're members of the Church of the Brethren. We're here in Colorado as part of a national conference for youth so that we can worship the Lord and learn more about what it is to be a Christian. And this story ends with an invitation to this worker from these youth to attend the evening worship. Now, I don't know if that person attended worship that evening, but you see, the youth at conference, they made a difference to that person in the way they walked and talked hand in hand with one another. Now, some people, sometimes myself included, are afraid that they will not know what to say or may say the wrong thing if they try to talk to someone about God or try to evangelize to someone. Take, for example, a story shared by Eric Sloan, who was an artist, an author, a newspaper columnist, and a collector of Americana, especially early hand tools. In his book, The Cracker Barrel, anybody read that? See Judy, she probably has it at the Bethel Library. The Cracker Barrel, his book. Sloan shared some stories that had been published in his newspaper column. So the story goes, as a writer and a painter, Sloan decided to move into the country. And he told his realtor that he wanted a very secluded place. But the realtor kept showing him houses that had another farmhouse located just a short distance away. And the realtor insisted that in the summertime, he would be most secluded when the leaves were on the trees. Well, Sloan wondered how he could impress upon the realtor his definition of secluded. So he finally expressed the type of seclusion he wanted in this way. This is the kind of place I want. I want to be able to shoot off a gun without hitting the house next door. Realtor says, okay, I understand. Then I want to be able to run around the house stark naked with nobody seeing me. You understand? Again, the realtor said, yeah, I understand. So now you have Sloan. He thought, well, I finally impressed upon the realtor the kind of privacy I want when I use the term seclusion. However, in the end, the only thing he accomplished was to get himself known throughout the countryside as the crazy artist feller who runs around his house naked shooting off guns. Talk about trying to express yourself in words and not being understood. But God's going to provide us with the words we need to let others share in our walk hand in hand. Back to the second chapter of Isaiah, verse 3. He will teach us his ways so that we may walk in his paths. You see, God will not let us down, but will provide for us the tools we need to share the news that God is in our land. Now, how will they know we are Christians, according to verse 3? This may be where the Church of the Brethren excels at times. We will work with each other. We will work side by side. Wow, does that not describe the members of the Church of the Brethren? We are known for our work, for helping others in the community, both locally and in other areas of the country, and for helping others throughout the world. Right here in this congregation, we are known for our ability to work together in the Lord's name to help the needy, the lost, the poor, those who have been through disasters, those who suffer from illness, and those who just need a friend. The history of the Church of the Brethren is full of accounts where its members have not been afraid to get their hands dirty and to work with one another, side by side. Now, I know some people prefer to do things by themselves. I sometimes find myself trying to do a project myself, figuring it would just be easier to do it myself than try to explain it to someone, then hope they do it right, or get disappointed when the end result isn't quite what I expected. But there's power in numbers. It's necessary to work together to share the good news that God is in our land, to guard the dignity of each person, and to save the pride of those who feel lost, alone, and needy, without boasting of the work that we've done. God calls us together to work to achieve the goal of bringing others to know him. So how will they know? By the work that we continue to perform daily, side by side, together, to bring honor and glory to God. Now, I heard on the radio a few weeks ago that we should treat God as our boss. You know, the big cheese, the head honcho. The speaker said that we should treat God as we would the boss we work for, always lifting our boss up, not bringing him down in our conversations with others, always making the boss look good. Isn't that how we should let others know we feel and respect God? It is work we should not take lightly. It is work we should perform joyfully, with vigor, full of respect for who God is and what he has done and does for each one of us. Now in the fourth verse, they'll know we are Christians by the praise we give to God the Father, the maker and creator of all things. The praise we express to Christ Jesus, God's only Son, who gave his very life for the sins of each and every one of us. And all praise to the Spirit that binds us together and makes us one. Do that which brings honor and glory to God. Don't be afraid to show others that you truly believe in God and that you'll praise his name in all things. Don't be afraid to tell others about who Jesus was and is. Tell others that he died for your sins and their sins, and that he rose again so that we may all live. Let others know that the Holy Spirit is alive and well in your heart. Let your life show that you truly do bring all honor and glory to God above. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16 says this, "Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Praise him in all things. And then finally, we come to the refrain. And this may be the easiest and simplest way others will know. They'll know we are Christians by our love. In the refrain of this song, we find the core ingredient necessary to make all the adjectives and actions of the verses possible: love. The Bible makes many references to the word love. It's used as both a noun and a verb. The Bible speaks of the love of God, his love, in love, my love, thy love, I love me, and love not. I believe the type of love expressed in the refrain, "They'll know we are Christians," is the type of love Jesus expresses in the 13th chapter of the book of John. As Jesus prepares his disciples for his death in this 13th chapter of John, he says these words in verses 34 and 35. "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." It's a simple command to love one another. Jesus states that simply by loving one another, all men will know that we are his disciples. It sounds so simple and easy, yet Jesus says five words prior to saying that we must love one another. And those five words make what seems so simple and easy at times so hard. As I have loved you. As I have loved you. And how did Jesus love us? Unconditionally. He expressed a love for his disciples and for us that as humans it's hard to fathom. Unconditional love. Love without receiving love in return. Loving while being hated. Loving while being mentally, verbally, or physically abused or hurt. Loving while ourselves are hurting. Loving without expecting anything in return. Unconditional love. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. Sound impossible? Maybe. Probably. But here's the good news. If we keep God first in our lives and can love without expecting something in return, we will be able to love one another and serve one another. With love, we will be able to remain one in the Spirit and one in the Lord. We will see unity restored in a hurting world. With love for one another, we will walk hand in hand and spread the news of Jesus throughout the world. Love for one another will enable us to work with each other side by side. There will be justice for all, and we will respect each one with dignity, and each person will have pride in who they are, no matter what their situation might be. And with love for one another, unconditional love for one another, we will be able to praise God the Father, Christ Jesus, his only Son, and have praise in the Holy Spirit, a spirit that lives in us and with us and makes us one. By this they will know. Simply by expressing our love for one another, our love for God who walks with us hand in hand, who's by our side as we work with each other in love, who rejoices when we express our praise and adoration for him. By this they will know, through how we live our lives daily, that we are God's disciples. Amen.
Thank you.
Now, as the praise team is going to lead us in a song as we end our service, but I thought it appropriate that I share with you, and you probably have read this if you read your April newsletter, I'd like to share the last paragraph from Pastor Matt's message to us. I think it's appropriate this morning. Are we living the risen life? Or are we living as if Jesus never rose from dead? The difference is what proves our decision to follow Christ. Do we find ourselves elevating the Christian values such as love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, kindness, humility, and self-control above worldly values such as hate, rage, selfishness, and pride, to name a few? The reality of Jesus to others is in the way we choose to live. Are we showing others he is risen, or do our lives reflect the grave in which there is darkness and a lack of compassion towards others? Might we encourage one another to live the risen life and reflect a loving God to a hurting world? We can be the change. This is how they will know. Amen.
These are the days of Elijah, declaring the word of the Lord. And these are the days of your servant Moses, righteousness being restored. And those are the days of great trials, of famine and darkness and sore.
Go out with joy.